welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we begin a brand new book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we begin today in chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Revelation, and I want this to be a practical study. The book of Revelation was written to seven literal churches which existed in the first century. Now, like the letter to the Ephesian church or the book of Romans written to the first century church in that city, the primary message of this book of Revelation is to those seven first century churches. But like all the books of the New Testament, its principles, its promises, its commands, its eternal truths, its warnings are for all Christians of every age. Now, the original readers of this book of Revelation were persecuted Christians who needed to be reassured that what they were enduring would be worth the pain and that in the end, all would be well. And so the book of Revelation is written to assure Christians, not just of the first century, but of every time period, that Jesus and his followers will prevail. It was written to assure Christians that the Bible is right, Christianity is right, and therefore no matter how much we must suffer for our faith in Jesus Christ, it will be worth it. That is the message of this book. That is a message that somehow, some way, often gets clouded by sensational interpretations. But that's the message of this book. Christians and Jesus Christ will prevail. And it's a message that God communicates to us in simple, straightforward words, but also by several symbolic visions. And I know, and you probably do too, many books have been written which sensationalize, especially the symbolic visions in Revelation, which is a real problem because it clouds the essential message that God is trying to communicate to his people. So my purpose in teaching this book is not to tickle your ears with sensational, subjective, science fiction type interpretations, which are essentially guesses based on nothing. And that sort of thing sells a lot of books, but it doesn't have anything to do with the message that God wants to communicate to his people. So I'm not going to do it. Really, my purpose is to communicate to you the promises, the warnings, the encouragements contained in the words and in the visions of this book. And these essential truths should transcend any differences that sincere Christians may have about how the details of the last day will work themselves out. So with that, I pray, Lord God, that you would bless our study in this book and let it accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you have a Bible, open it up to Revelation chapter 1, and we begin our reading in verse number 1. And it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John." And the things which must soon take place refer to the punishment of evildoers, the defeat of the devil, but it also refers to the suffering and then the final victory of those who belong to Jesus Christ. All of these things have been happening to one degree or another since the beginning of the church age, and they will continue to happen until Jesus Christ returns, although they will increase as the end draws near. And so it says again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. John was a servant of Jesus Christ. And you know what a servant is. A servant is somebody who doesn't have a life, but simply lives for the sole purpose of pleasing their master. John was a servant of Jesus Christ. Christians are called to be servants of Jesus Christ. And so John was entrusted with writing this book of Revelation by divine inspiration, of course, because he was a servant of Jesus Christ. God could count on him to be honest and to be accurate in communicating this message. And of course, he would be helped by inspiration. Servant of Christ cares more about Jesus than they do themselves. And therefore, they can be trusted to faithfully carry out the desires of their Lord. And that's what John did when he wrote this book down. Speaking of John, verse 2, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is referred to as the testimony of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in a court? Or if you've ever watched, Perry Mason, one of these shows, you know. What does a witness do? They stand up by the witness stand, they raise their right hand, and they swear that the testimony that they give will be the truth. Well, that, in essence, is what Jesus is doing here. The Word of God, the Holy Bible, including the book of Revelation, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's as if he is standing up, raising his right hand, and speaking the truth, and what he has spoken has been written in the book of Revelation. So think about that. This book is the written testimony of Jesus Christ. It comes from his lips. And if we can't believe the testimony of Jesus, then I'd say we're in rough shape, right? And if we can't believe the testimony of Christ, not just in the book of Revelation, but in the entirety of the Bible, then we are also easy targets for deception, because he is speaking truth. Let's go to verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So God pronounces a blessing on those who care enough to read this book, or hear it read, or hear it taught. If we care enough to let the words of this book sink in, and if we believe it enough to obey it, and let its truths be our guide, God says that he will bless us. The Word of God will have a positive effect on our life if we read it, if we believe it, and especially if we live it. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. This letter, this book, comes from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And of course, that refers to God. Jesus was here. Jesus is returning here. And in the meantime, he is here, present everywhere, and in all Christians by his Holy Spirit. God is the omnipotent God. God is the everywhere present God. He is everywhere at the same time. The Lord Jesus Christ is not far away in some distant heaven, rubbing his hands and cracking his knuckles, hoping that we're going to be okay. He knows what's going on with us because he's with us. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus refers to himself, or the Bible refers to Jesus, as the firstborn. Back in those days, the firstborn was the leader among the children of a household. And what Christ is saying to us is that if we are in the family of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, then Jesus has authority over us. He is the firstborn. He is the one with authority in church. He's the one with the authority over Christians. Christians do not make Jesus the Lord of their lives. Sometimes you hear that. Sometimes I've said it, and I got to stop saying it. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. We don't make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And if we fall out of line, he'll bring us back. And he's the one that we must answer to. Verse 5 again. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus is in charge of this world. Now, everything is not happening exactly the way he wants it to happen. That's why we are to pray, let thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. But still, Jesus is in charge of the world. No world leader can act independently from Christ. Even the bad that rulers do is working somehow in the larger purposes of God. Now, they may not think about Jesus, but Jesus has them on a leash. Yes, they have a free will, but Jesus also is the sovereign one. And they may not believe in Christ, but Christ is still their ruler, and they will give an account to Jesus for how they behaved and how they exercised their authority. It is a very serious matter to be a political and civil ruler. Last part of verse 5. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Talking about Jesus. You know that the death of Jesus Christ frees Christians from their sins? The death of Jesus Christ on the cross paid the penalty for our sins, and therefore eliminated even the possibility that we will pay for our sins ourselves. Anybody who tells you that as a Christian you must still pay for your sins is not telling you the truth. They may be deceived. I'm not saying they're liars, but I'm saying they're wrong. The death of Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins and eliminated even the possibility that we will pay for our sins ourselves. God will not punish us because he has already punished Jesus in place of us. And why did Jesus do that for us? Because of what verse 5 says, he loved us. The only thing left for us to do is to appreciate him and to show our appreciation by doing what makes him happy and saying sorry when we fail. And both of those things, by the way, come naturally to people who belong to Jesus Christ. Last part of verse 5 again, and then verse 6, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Christians are to serve God for the glory of Jesus Christ. We are to serve God in order to glorify God, in order to bring honor to his name, to make him happy. Every time we do what pleases God because it pleases God, we are saying, God, I care about you. And he's already purchased salvation for us on the cross. And this sort of service, this sort of heartfelt, loving service should be the response of the redeemed, of the saved, out of appreciation for what Christ has done. So when we do what pleases God because it pleases God, we're saying, God, I care about you. Of my own free will, by the grace of God, of course, I choose to honor you, Lord. And that is what pleases the Lord. I'm going to take a break. 1 minute break. Please listen to this. I think it'll bless you. I'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. Well, I guess we're having some technical problems. Sorry about that. Let me just say this, that if you would like to be a part of this ministry of teaching the Holy Scriptures verse by verse, you can, in two ways. Number one, you can pray for Scripture verse by verse. And number two, you can consider becoming a sponsor or sending a gift. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Your prayers, your financial support are greatly appreciated. And now, back to our study in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, and we resume our study in verse number 7. Notice what it says. Look, he is coming with the clouds. And that's speaking of Jesus. This is a preview of his second coming. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. That will not be a good day for Christ rejecting impenitent sinners. When rebellious sinners see Jesus, they are going to be terrified. They are going to feel horrible. They will wish that none of it was real. All those warnings about hell, all those warnings about judgment were true. And they will know it. And they won't be able to run from it. The wicked will no longer be able to run from truth. They will no longer be able to push it out of their minds by preoccupying themselves with the things of this world. No, it's going to be staring them in the face. In verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Do you know that God is Almighty? And that God is King? And that God rules? Which means that we can trust that he's in control of our circumstances today, both good and bad. Now, he may choose to change our circumstances tomorrow, and if he does, he'll be in control of those also. But there's something that God wants to get across to his people in the book of Revelation, that he is sovereign and that he is in control. He is the ruler. He is the Almighty. And we can trust that he's in charge of everything that happens to us, good and bad. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, the island of Patmos was a Roman penal colony. John, this old man, this old apostle, the last living apostle, was banished to the island of Patmos because he preached the word of God. He was suffering because he talked about Jesus Christ being the Savior and the only way to heaven. John went around telling people, he went around telling everyone that people had to repent, they had to turn away from their sins, they had to follow Jesus Christ to be saved. And of course, many people don't like to hear that. And that's why he was arrested and placed on this rock called the island of Patmos. Verse 10. He says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And so John was in the Spirit. In other words, he was in deep fellowship with Jesus Christ, in prayer, and meditating upon the Word of God. Whatever he was doing, he was enjoying fellowship with Jesus. He was enjoying the presence of Jesus. God wants us to be blessed. And God especially wants to bless us with himself. And he will. If we take the time to think about him. If we take the time to praise him and worship him. And read his word. And so John was focused on Jesus, and he was fellowshipping with him, and God's about to communicate with him as a result. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." Jesus says to John, write and then send. Write and send. In other words, John, take in the Word of God and then share it with others. This idea that it's okay for Christians to have a private faith that isn't ever shared with the lost, hell-bound, Christless souls is a foolish idea, is an unbiblical idea, is contrary to Scripture. God wants us to take in the Word and then somehow share it with others. And so this is what John is told to do. And notice how John describes Jesus as Jesus appeared to him. Look at this. Verse 12. "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance." And that is a picture of Jesus Christ. That is a picture of our King, of our Lord, and of our Savior. Jesus is no man's victim. Does this description suggest to you that he is any man's victim? He is no man's victim. He is no devil's victim either. This is a picture of our all-powerful, all-wise, and ever-present Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that this one, who is so powerful and so mighty and so wise and so all-knowing and everywhere at the same time, is the Savior and God that is with us in our trials and our persecution. That is the message that God was sending to this first century church, and it is the message that God is sending to Christians today. Notice verse 17. "And when I saw him," John said, "I fell at his feet as though dead." Yeah, I think I would too, wouldn't you? You turn around, you see Jesus looking like this. Wham, I'm down on my face. So John falls down like he's dead. "Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." You know, there are no smart alecks in the presence of God. People can talk smart about God. Sinners can talk smart about God today. There will be no smart alecks in the presence of God. All sworn atheists will crumble before the God that they tried to deny. And even Christians, who are the forgiven, the very children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, will be overwhelmed in the presence of the Lord. But for the Christian, that initial fear will quickly melt away when Jesus tells them not to be afraid. You know that Jesus is going to tell you after you die, or when he returns, whichever happens first, don't be afraid. He's going to comfort you. Everything's going to be okay. While the wicked go from one level of fear and dread and horror to the next, Christians will experience peace and joy in the presence of God. 17 and 18, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus says that he holds the keys of death and Hades. You die when Jesus says, not a second sooner and not a second later. The Bible teaches the sovereignty of God, not the sovereignty of the devil or anyone else. So yes, Christians were being persecuted, but not one of them died apart from the will of God. He was in charge. After they finished their course, after they finished their assignment, that's when they were allowed to die. The Bible teaches the sovereignty of God, not the sovereignty of the devil or anyone else. It doesn't matter what the details surrounding our life or our death may be. God is the one who determines what happens and when it happens. Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades. And by the way, Hades refers to the abode of the dead. And so Jesus is in charge of this world, and he is in charge of the next world as well. 19. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. What you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. Write it all down, John. And so the apostle was to be thorough in what he did for Jesus. We should always do, as Christians, we should always do what God says is correct. We should always do what God says is important, and we should always do it the best we can. We should be thorough. That is what our Lord expects, and that is what he deserves. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And by this vision, Christ is reminding his people that he is in the midst of his churches. And Jesus has the ministers, the messengers, the pastors of those churches in his hand. And I think a lot of pastors, including myself, sometimes are tempted to ask, even me, Lord? Do you even have me in your hands? Because it's so easy to think that there should be more visible results of our ministries. And yet, if we believe the Bible, we cannot deny the Holy Word of God. We must continue to believe that God has us where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. And what is true for ministers is true for all Christians. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or if you would rather email, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. And if you would like to study the Word of God further, you can do that. You can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website and study the Bible, the entire Bible online for free using my audio Bible commentaries. Just pick a book of the Bible, a chapter of that book, and study it verse by verse with me. Won't cost you a thing. Don't even have to register. That web address is meurett.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. If you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Beginning next week, we'll be on at 10 o'clock on 1230 The Voice, WXCO. Until then, so long, everyone.
Once you start listening, you'll never go to sleep.
Because I'll do it all night long.
The Phil Hendry Show. Overnights on 1230 The Voice.
It's time for NFL Insider Radio. A presentation of Westwood One in the National Football League. NFL Insider is brought to you by Sears Auto Center, who knows the best offense is a good defense. Hurry into your one-stop shop for all your tire and service needs. Visit SearsAuto.com